Yeah, so,
what?
Are we rolling?
Yes, Brett, it appears we are rolling.
Oh, welcome to Loser Leaves Wrestling!
Oh!
With Red Jefferson and Moen Jaswal.
Hey! Yeah! All right!
Is that a good improv class that we just taught everyone how to pretend?
That felt good. Yeah, I was clanging on a keyboard. I don't know if
I didn't
it.
See that.
I was trying
the background. It stops your hands from showing sometimes.
Oh, I was doing that a little bit. Yeah. But I was trying to, you know, scene work. I believe the teachers call it.
Get out of here, Del Close. What are you? What is this Moet Jaswal? That's just an improv expert.
You're changing me. This show is changing me. All of a sudden, I'm using, you know, the vocab and everything. It's fun.
We're zip zap zopping all over the place. This is the woos and whats of AEW Dynamite. This is Wednesday. We just finished the show. We just finished, and now we're here talking to y'all. Again, my name is Red, and I'm here with Moet. And we please just, you know, like and subscribe and all the things. If you're on Apple Podcasts and you're listening to this, and I know you people are, you better be reviewing. Why aren't there matching reviews to the subscriber count? I'm sorry, it's freaking me out. But Moet, how have you been lately, bud?
Hey, I've been doing all right. This AEW episode made me feel really good. It really jazzed me up. So right now I'm feeling awesome. How are you doing right now?
Well, same. Moet and I was just talking about the fact that we were both very sad before, and this show, and talking about this show, has made us so unassumedly happy. I don't know, is unassuming? what is wrong with me? I'm trying to do banter.
It works, though. Right? I feel like that works. That completely describes our psyche at the moment. Yeah, it's all right.
We didn't assume we were going to be happy. It was unassumedly.
Mm-hmm.
Of course. Mm-hmm. Well, we got woos and whats. Woos are great things. Whats are not great things. And we got a whole show talk about it. We had a lot of fun. Moet, let's start this thing off hot. What do you got? What's your big woo of the evening?
Oh, Red, my woo of the... Oh, God, that was bad. Let's cut that
no,
one.
No, I like that. I like that frog woo.
My woo, there we go.
Woo there we are.
Of the evening is the parking lot match. Holy shit, that parking lot match was fantastic.
That was absolutely amazing. I think that was one of the best matches I've seen. I think the best match I've seen this year, besides the Royal Rumble. Besides the Royal Rumble.
The Royal Rumble. Oh, yeah, the Royal Rumble is very good. We should make a video on the Royal Rumble. Oh, no, copyright issues. We can't do that.
We'll do a video on the Royal Rumble, but we'll never say Royal Rumble. We'll never say any of the performers. And we're just going to, like, put slashes and swirl faces on everything.
There you go. Yeah.
Best Friends versus Santana and Ortiz match was... this is a great example of the hardcore wrestling. This is a perfect example of doing spots... And a sequence, and having a lot of spots, but it was for the betterment of the match. What were your favorite parts of this whole deal?
I love the sledgehammer when he throws it. It's a very good callback to when they destroyed Sue's van. I like the thing, whatever destroyed Trent's back. Oh, as a back body drop or whatever. Was it a power bomb onto the? I forgot what happened.
Yeah, it was a double power bomb through the windshield.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That was nasty. Yeah, to me, it was the pacing was incredible. Where, like, you don't need, you know, fancy camera edits. You don't need shaky cam or any of that. You just needed to just watch them at this relentless pace of just something crazy happening every 5 seconds or so. Like, there was never any time, enough time for you to breathe and kind of understand
100%.
What was happening. They did such
a great job of organizing.
Whoop.
Huh?
Oh, sorry. That was weird. You just kind of went out for a second. Ah, technology. It ruined my thought. Oh, well. I have a thought, though. A new thought that I want to bring up. Because I was kind of ragging on them a couple weeks ago with the Matt Hardy match. And basically everything Matt Hardy's done in his AEW thing, where it's like, in theory, it's exciting and cool, but then it leads to disastrous effects when it happens to him.
Sure.
And so I was, and then the Darby Allin body bag spot, at All Out. And so, like, I felt a little guilty watching this, but, like, where's the line for you? Where, like, I thought this was great because no one got hurt. But is that okay? Does that make the idea of the match okay? You know?
While I was watching it, I didn't feel guilty. I felt nervous. Because the nervousness I felt is because, like, please just don't fuck up again. I'm fine with doing dangerous things. In all honesty, I'm fine with doing dangerous things. Controlled danger, secured danger. You know, there's going to be pain. I understand that, but the safest way possible. The Darby Allin thing, I think was isn't a bad idea. I think it's a bad idea to do in that match. I thought that was dumb. It was a distraction. This, I felt like everything was somewhat safe. Nothing was reckless. I felt like it was in a very controlled environment. Every move was done slowly and thoughtfully. And they gimmicked when they can. Like, those 2x4s, love them to death. Love those fucking 2x4s. I want them to snap like breadsticks. I love the idea that they're like, they look good, but they break like a breeze goes by them and they just whittle away. I think that's a great addition, because you get to have that cool snap, cool sound effect. Now, fucking getting splinters in your back from a real 2x4 shot that doesn't break. I think it's okay. I think this is a blow off to a feud, right? Mm-hmm. Like the just to give our viewers, our listeners, some background. Best Friends and Ortiz and Santana have been feuding for what, a month now. They destroyed Sue's van, Trent's mom's car. They messed up with their gear. They've been taunting Best Friends, and this is the big blow off match. And Moa, I was going to pose this question to you, because last week we were talking about Orange Cassidy, how he's lost his flair or his some of that zing, that zest, but that zest. Oh, man. And this week, zest, like an orange.
Oh,
orange
zest. Did you just get excited about oranges, or what was that?
No, I said Orange Cassidy lost some of his zest.
Oh,
I'm just like, what a great.
Oh, you're good. That was good. Man.
I took myself back. But Orange Cassidy, he comes out in this match to save the Best Friends from utter disaster, and I liked it. I liked his involvement. What are your thoughts on that? Do you think this added some fire to the Orange Cassidy fuel?
I thought it was hilarious. I thought that's one of my favorite things about him, the nonsensical entrances. Like, what's he doing in the trunk?
He's in the trunk the entire...
The whole match, it's ridiculous. It reminds me of when they did a big brawl, like, I think at the start of the, you know, AEW, like, a year ago, where they, like, break through a bathroom, and he's just sitting in the bathroom with the thumbs up, just, like, he's just hanging out in the bathroom, and they just kind of look at him, and it's like, what the hell? And they, like, ignore him. Same thing. It's funny. It's real funny.
It's like, he's almost like his own magical character. He's his own magical character, this aloof little demon that pops out of anywhere, does whatever he wants. Sometimes he's so aloof and doesn't care, but sometimes he's hyper aggressive, which actually I think I like from this Jericho feud that brought out in him. Sometimes he'll just go balls to the wall, chain on his fist, and orange punch people, which is now the move. I'm gonna call it that. I don't want to call it Superman punch anymore. No. I just don't like
that. No. I wonder what is the name of that move? Like, does he have his own, like, his own unique name on it? It's a Superman punch, but yeah.
You should, like the Orange Crush.
Yeah, because Superman Punch doesn't really make sense with his character, but that doesn't matter right now. That's a boring conversation. But it made sense to me, like how he was able to kind of like surprise them and kind of, you know, like old Orange Cassidy wouldn't have been able to pick him up and kind of drag him over for the next spot for, you know, Chuck Taylor to do.
Exactly. Exactly.
So it was a good combination of like sloth and normal human strength. I don't know what to call. He didn't really do that much,
Orange
I
Fury.
Guess. Yeah.
Orange Fury.
Orange Fury.
Yes, this was the blow off of the match. And this is, I think, this is such a big woo. This is a perfect example. The entire feud is a huge woo for me. Because we got to see within a month or in about a month, they told a full story, had a built up a match that delivered, you know, and each week had something. It started off hot, like with a fun way, destroying his mom's car. And then it turned into this really cool parking lot brawl. And then the middle finger by Sue in her new car, in her new minivan.
That's real good. And I don't usually like parking lot brawls. I've seen maybe two or three of them, really. But, like, they're all kind of boring because everyone's kind of trying to be safe, which, understandably, like, no one wants to, you know, take a bump on concrete, you know. But this one, I was, like, shocked the whole time. Shocked. Like, even when wasn't, like, particularly dangerous, like you're saying with the 2x4s, there was enough, like big shock moments to be like, what's going on now? Oh, you know.
Moments. Real, like, I was like, wow. At times. And the finish, excellent job all around, all six performers. I'm counting Sue. Did a great job in this. What a treat. That's what a great way to start off our woos. And we both agree on that one. What's your next one? Let's go off to the next one.
My next woo is the Thunder Rosa versus Evelise match. My bad. It's exactly what I want women's wrestling to be in AEW. It felt very believable. It felt very physical. It looked painful. Lots of great like Lucha Libre style wrestling. Thunder Rosa is extremely good now. Like, I don't know what happened. I wasn't like super impressed with her before AEW, but something has changed in the last several months since I've seen her last. And she's got all of the detail work down that I think a lot of wrestlers miss. Just a lot of like, it, she did such a great job of selling and making Evelise great and making herself great. Yeah. I'm very impressed with that whole thing.
And they mentioned on commentary, she's only 5 years in.
Yeah, that's
She's
insane.
Only 5 years in. What an amazing performer. And I love Evelise. I think she's great. I think it started off a little rocky for me. Just like for the first few minutes, I felt like they were a little awkward around each other. But boy, did they make up for it. I was shocked that this was my match of the night. This was my match of the night up until the parking lot brawl. This was the second to last one. And I was shook by it. Do you think... we're going to be seeing more Thunder Rosa? We have to, right?
Well, she's the NWA champion, right? So I don't know where that's going to go. I was surprised to see her on AEW tonight. I thought it was just going to be a one-off thing that Billy Corgan kind of let them do. But I think he's sort of like, you know, they're kind of twisting his arm is how I assume what's happening. Because they can't, NWA is coming back.
Yeah.
I forgot. I just realized right now. Yeah, I don't know what the hell is happening. What do you think is happening?
I'm thinking, like, because, like, you're right. She is NWA champ. She's not on the show. I don't think she's under any contract, and I don't think they're going to sign her if she's a part of another company. I feel like this was probably a way, because she lost to Shida, and this was probably a way for them to be like, here, let's give you something back. Yeah, give you, you know, a little heat back on you so that when you go back to NWA, you know, you're not going back a loser, you know?
Oh, you know what they're doing? I think they were setting up a tag team match with Shida and Thunder Rosa versus Evelise and...
of course they are. That makes a million in one sense.
Yeah.
That's the one.
That because they love tag team matches, and that's why Shida walked in and gave her the belt back, like saved her from the two-on-one attack, which will
and
be
I'm
fine.
Excited for that.
Yeah, I think
I'm excited
good.
For that tag match. Because one of the only women's segment we had in this show was that, and it over-delivered. Did a great job. So if we could bring back, like, I want Thunder Rosa in this company. We need the Thunder Rosa in this company. I feel like she's, the more we get of her, the better. We've agreed on two woos so far, Moet. We're doing such a great job. We're on the same wavelength. It's going great. What's your third woo? What do you got?
I think we're going to change a little bit now. This is what I'm worried about. I want us to be on the same. I want us to have a full episode, but I don't think this is going to happen anymore. The third is the six-man tag segment. Ricky Starks shows? Well, Lance Archer is in the ring, and then he announces his partners. John Moxley announces his partners. Mm-hmm.
Paint the picture. Paint the picture for our audience. What happened in this segment?
Lance Archer comes in. Jake the Snake starts spouting some like open mic poetry of like needing tag partners. I don't know what the hell he was saying. It was ridiculous. Then he says that his partners would be Brian Cage and Ricky Starks. But then, and that's all fine. That was almost a what for me, because I was like, this is kind of boring and stupid. I don't need this kind of thing. But then John Moxley shows up and he walks in before he could say anything. I'm like, is that Ricky Starks in the background? Is that? And he like coughs into the mic. I don't know. I don't even think he gets to say anything. And then Ricky Starks gets up and jumps up. Like, he's sitting in plain sight. He's right behind you. They jump him. And then Will Hobbs shows up. Saves the day. And then Moxley says Will Hobbs is going to be his partner and Darby Allin will be his partner. But the exciting thing to me is Will Hobbs did such a great job. Like, I'm excited that he got signed. He's been on Dark for most of this time. And then he was in the Casino Battle Royale. But he did such a great job of looking like a monster in this moment. Like, John Moxley did a great job of like putting him over, talking about like, I don't know, the way like it's a big deal to have him on his team. And he had Will Hobbs had a chair and he's just like smashing it like the Hulk, like rah, like bang, 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 you know, and it was just a lot of commotion and energy. I was all for it.
That's... I want to agree with you 100%. This was a great segment moment. It wasn't in my woos, though. I was going to put it in my woos, and I crossed it out in favor of something else that we'll get to in a bit.
Was it MJF? Like... You put MJF. You
no, I was Hangman's new tights.
Okay, fine.
No, but like this was a great segment. I immediately wrote down, before we even got to Mox coming out, I wrote down that I called this the Taz and Jake Roberts redemption, because they've been coming out the past 2 weeks and just pooping the bed, like just really shitting themselves. And this one, I felt like their interaction in the beginning was very good. No one's really talking over anyone. Jake was trying to, but luckily cooler heads prevailed. My only issue with this is, and I love Will Hobbs. Will Hobbs, I saw him on Dark this week. Amazing. Amazing. Yeah. He's so much energy, so much fire. It's ridiculous. He has so much life in him. And it translates. But the issue I have is John Moxley getting his shit beat, thrown through a crate that exploded, according to Tony Giovanni, exploded, and then he gets up, cuts a promo, doesn't sell a single thing. That did bother me.
Oh, that's fine.
He threw him through a crate. Two people beat the shit out of him, threw him through wood, and he gets up, cuts a promo, and then just starts taunting and flexing.
Yeah, I mean, he's gone through like barbed wire and stuff and can still kind of do things. I think that you could throw that aside as like adrenaline rush or something. Like he still sold it for a little bit, you know, and then he gets up, you know, he has enough time for Will Hobbs to save his ass, and that's fine. You don't need to nitpick.
We'll agree to disagree on that, but it was a great segment. Great segment. I think it got everything it needed to get over. I like the idea of, I was going to say Lance Archer should never talk again because he started off talking like a weenie. But then he said, what did he say? He called himself like a dead ringer champion or something. A killer champion. Yeah. Killer champion. I like that. I kind of like that. When he said killer champion, I was just like, okay.
Okay, good.
I kind of see him because I saw this one match against him, against Moxley in NJPW. I just watched it maybe a few weeks ago. And he comes out with this little army helmet. Lance Archer comes out with this army helmet and like an army vest, almost like he's like this weird hoarder, like doomsdayer. Like he's got all this gear ready for the Armageddon. And I want that to come back. I want some of that, like, I'll run into storm, blow it up. Like I want that like kind of like atmosphere. But yeah, a great. Oh my God. Mo, we're killing it today. But since I did not pick that one as my woo, I'll go to my next woo. And it wasn't Hangman Page's tights. I crossed out I crossed out the Taz Roberts redemption with all the other people. I crossed that out in favor of Hangman tights, but I was still six, so I had to cross out.
Do you like the tassels?
That's great. I like him in long pants. Him in short pants makes him look too short. Looks so much shorter because he's a rough and tough guy. He looks like he's small when he's wearing those tighty whities.
He looks more like a cowboy now.
He looks like a cowboy.
Partners. He got the pow, 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 pow. That's what I see.
Man, we have to get a gif for this. Please, a Bacon, if you're still there, make us a gif of Moet with his handguns going off. We love you, Bacon. Please come back to us. And also, make sure to follow us on Instagram, Loser Leaves Wrestling. Make sure to follow us on Twitter, Loser Leaves Pod. And if you have any questions or suggestions or pictures or gifts you want to send us, Bacon, send it to loserleavespod@gmail.com. Right, Moet?
We love Bacon. We love username YouTube username Bacon.
We miss you, Bacon. Come back to us. My woo of the evening will go to... Okay. This isn't my favorite woo of the evening, but it's going to be... It's my next one. Miro. Miro's backstage segment where he's working out and Kip is talking shop about his wedding, and he's just, like, he gets off, he's lifting all these weights, he gets off, and he's talking about who he wants to fight next. Miro, he wants to fight someone, and then Kip's like, but first we have the wedding, he's just like, oh, okay, and then he becomes soft, funny, affable Miro. I think this Miro gimmick has the potential, I wish I was working for their creative. They don't have a creative, but I wish I was, because I would say to Miro, watch Pumping Iron with Arnold Schwarzenegger and just be Arnold Schwarzenegger. This cool, charismatic ladies' man. You have a little accent. You have this exotic flair to you. And you're talking about being smooth and you win all the ladies and all the guys want to be your friend. But then in the ring, you're just like this cocky machine that's just like, oh, I'm better than you. You're very good. You know, I'm coming when I'm flexing. Like, I love that.
I got to tell you, but Pumping Iron is one of my favorite movies ever. It's on my top five Letterboxd. It's at the very top of the profile. So,
one time when we were both drunk, we talked about Pumping Iron at a bar for like an hour.
Yeah.
And I remember that specifically.
I remember it too. The reason why I remember it is because no one lets me talk about Pumping Iron. Nobody wants to hear about Pumping Iron. So I remember every instance where I get a chance to yell and cheer about Pumping Iron. You were one of them. So,
hey, go to Moet Jaswal one on Instagram, folks, and just talk to Moet about Pumping Iron. He really needs it. This is important.
Oh,
and
so
we need
good.
To get through. So but what did you think of that segment, Moet? What did you think of Miro and Kip and Penelope?
It wasn't great. It was my what. So I don't know if we should talk about it now or what, but
We'll postpone then. I want to hear your take on it. So we'll move on then. Moet, what's your next woo of the evening? Woo!
Oh gosh, what is my next woo of the evening, Red? The Young Bucks entrance. They right at the very top of the show, they kick the ref, they walk in real cool, they kick the ref in the face, they walk out, they toss Tony Khan money. He's sitting there, there's like a little chump with the t-shirt and shorts. They just toss him $5,000.
No, better be 10.
It was 10, it 10 grand, 10. What, five for each of them? And he's like, ah, oh, you want your money? Yeah, you got a fine, whatever it is to throw it. They walk a few more steps, and then they see the FTR waiting for their match, and FTR just like makes fun of them, which I thought was really funny. It was like, we got a match. We got a fight right now. We got to wrestle. Like, what are you guys doing? You guys are idiots or whatever. And then they go in. I just liked it a lot. It felt like Muppet World and yeah. Everything, like multiple things connected within that segment. You get geography of the background of like what happens when you walk out back, and I just thought that was cool. Like, the more you're able to kind of see the whole area of Daly's place, I think the better. So Muppet World, love it.
Awesome. I agree entirely. I did cross it out, but it was my woo. It was one of my woos. Very great segment. I love the idea of them just upping the ante, just really kicking this turn into high gear where they're, and they don't really give an explanation for it. I do think they should be arrested. I think that them being able to assault people for $5,000 a pop is a weird thing to say on TV. Like, I think there should be, like, Tony Khan should be a little stricter next week if they're going to continue this type of story. If they keep getting to assault people and pay $5,000, that's so funny. That's so, because if, like, an NFL punched a ref once, they'd be fined for something. If they keep punching, that'd be weird.
They make a lot of money. They can't do, like, $5,000. I could do, like 25 punches. That's no problem. You can't do that. Do it that way.
No, the five last five don't count because the ref was punching himself. That wasn't me. And now we're on to another woo of the evening. This is my second to last, number four for me. We've got right after that attack by the Young Bucks, we get my favorite Jurassic Express match ever. This Jurassic Express versus FTR, they did such a good job. I think there was a lot of great moments in this match. Jungle Boy looked like $1 million. Luchasaurus looked like a threat. They'd probably be in the ring with him. They didn't want to be in the ring with him. They tried to get out of the ring with him. They double teamed him when he was there. It was smart. And a great ending to the match. What did you think, Moet?
Very, very smart tag team wrestling. I think FTR just elevated them. I think they played into FTR's style of wrestling, and it showed. I think they... I think it's just so easy to follow an FTR match. They do the therefore or but rule of storytelling of like, this happens, therefore this happens, therefore this happens, but then this happens. So therefore,
that's a good way of
this
putting
happens.
It.
I'm still, the South Park guys made it famous by saying that. So like, you
no,
can't.
You made it famous about saying about wrestling right now. Fuck those guys.
No.
Come
fine.
Come at us, Matt Stone.
and that's like normal storytelling. storytelling. Like essentially every match does that, every story does that, but it's hard to explain, but they just do it in a way that's so obvious and creative, you know? Like, they beat up Jungle Boy enough by, they tag in over and over again to isolate Jungle Boy, therefore Jungle Boy finds a way to get Luchasaurus, therefore, you know, they're scared of him, and then therefore, they gotta find a new way to stop him. Like, they just keep building it in, like, I don't know. And also, I noticed FTR matches, they're not wrestling the tag team. They're wrestling essentially three people, the tag team and the ref. They're trying to constantly outsmart the ref at all times by using the rules against them. Just like the ending, like, they're just, like, the ref is just trying to do the best job that they can. It's not that they screwed up. They just got outsmarted in that quick moment when he got pulled over, you know, and he...
That's an interesting business move. Because, like, if you focus on not only your competition, but the environment surrounding the game, I'm sure there's a business term to describe that. But I love the idea that you're painting that picture for FTR where they have their opponents aren't the only opponents they have. It's also the structure. They know they have to plan the structure and they have to pretend that they stick in that structure to a T. And that's part of their strategy because they constantly break it. Oh,
yeah. Lots of great tags in this. Like, just, I love the quick tags in the beginning. And I love that moment where I think they're attacking Luchasaurus where, like, one person tags and they run to the other side of the ring. So, like, the other guy can punch Luchasaurus in the back. Then Luchasaurus turns around and the ref turns around just in time where that guy, the illegal man, gets behind, you know, back holding the tag rope. And so he turns around and then he gets punched in the back of the head again from the other guy. And then, and I just thought it was just such great timing for that one spot in particular.
And it looks like Tully really cares about FTR. And that's my favorite part. It looks like Tully really thinks of them as his boys. Like, he's so sweet with them. He's so gentle with them.
Yeah, there's a lot of nice like neck grabbing, like, come here.
It's very sweet. Very, very like Mickey with Rock. My next woo of the evening, we've got, well, I crossed out Paige's tights.
Fair.
But
that's fair.
His match against Kaz, I did not cross out. I love that match.
Wow.
There were so many great matches to me. This was the best wrestling night of Dynamite that I've seen since we started this podcast. This has been chock full of great matches. The Paige Kaz match, excellent action. I love watching Kaz. I like Kaz as a singles performer much better than a tag. I'm not a big SCU person at all. Like, I like them all individually, but in a tag, they all act and wrestle the same. So it feels like they're just a bald version of a hairy version. You know, it doesn't seem very different. But this match, awesome. Hangman comes out. He sees Omega talking on commentary. And, like, you could just see the stress in the relationship or whatever it was. My one question is, what the hell was Omega doing on commentary? I don't understand it at all because I don't think it advanced anything in the storyline. I don't think he said anything that made it changed anything. I thought they were going their separate ways. It feels weird that he's showing up immediately. He separated last week, and this week he's like, oh, I'm just going to go on commentary. Oh, it was his match? Oh, it's his match. Like I don't know what the sense of it was. He didn't say anything different. There was nothing to be said.
Oh, right. That's funny, because that's literally the only thing I had written down to talk about for this match. So I can talk about it. Yeah, I actually didn't like the match that much, but I liked the fact that Kenny was a commentary.
Oh, interesting. So, what'd you like about it?
Well, so
he's a good commentator. I don't think he's bad.
I will say that I guess the reasoning for him being out there is kind of flimsy. They didn't really have a reason. I guess you could say maybe, unless it was on friggin' BTE or something and we just missed it. Maybe it was like, maybe Hangman asked Kenny Omega to sit in and watch his, you know, match or something. I mean, they were tag partners at one point, so it makes sense, I guess, why he was there. But throughout the entire match, he's just constantly just kind of being like, oh, wow, Hangman got over that. Wow, okay, because this is the moment where I would usually run in and save him. But he got out of the pin. That's impressive. Like, he just kept throwing shade at Hangman constantly of how, like, oh, usually in a tag match, I'd save him. But he's also impressed that he's, like, fending him for himself and doing well. And then at the very end, they timed where he's like, where Hangman wins, and Kenny gets up and he walks away. And Hangman stops and assumes, like, oh, my friggin' tag team partner is there waiting for me. Like, of course, if he's doing commentary on my match, of course he's going to come in. Like, he's going to say good job. He's going to do something. Yeah. Just walks away, and just this little sad, lonely look on his face that watching his tag partner leave. I thought that was the moment. It was all building up to that moment. And you need Kenny out there for him to walk away. I think it was just that.
I guess I got a little distracted by Kenny. I think I missed those things. I must have missed some of those key pieces that you heard where he was kind of putting him down, because I didn't hear it in his voice. And I guess I just drowned. I drown out the commentary so much in this show. It's hard to listen to all of it, to be honest.
Yeah, to me, it's because Kenny wants to be a single star. Hangman Page doesn't. He wants to be a tag partner. So that's why it's really interesting that they started this episode with Hangman in a singles match instead of Kenny. So Hangman, the one that doesn't want to be in singles matches, is you know, going first, and he does well, but he doesn't want that. And so that's where that, I think, a really nice dynamic comes through, where like Kenny's like kind of trying to find a way to be like, you know, feel strength for himself, you know. So
interesting. Well, I'll accept that explanation. I hope they dive into it more, because I love this feud. If this is the way they're going with it, I think that's a very interesting way. But that was the end of our, is that any more woos?
No, that was it. Yeah, you got my fifth
all
one.
All the woos. Yeah. Hell yeah. Now we're going to be sad. Now we're going to be real angry. And, well, actually, there's not much to be angry about. Did you have a lot to be angry about with this thing?
I couldn't find five this episode. Everything was
five.
Yeah, I couldn't.
How many did you have?
Three. We've already talked about one of them, so
I had a stretch to find five. Really did.
I thought about doing it. I just didn't bother. I don't know, because everything was like, nothing really offended me that much. Everything was like, I could at least kind of understand why it was happening, or just like accept it, you know? Like, nothing was,
yeah, I guess we're just gonna be nitpicking.
Yeah,
this is just gonna be nitpicking. And in all honesty, if I'm really gonna go at this, if I'm really gonna talk about the bad things of the evening, I have to cross out this one. I have to cross out that one. I only have really three, I guess. Technically two. Well, let's get your first one of the night. What's the thing that charged you?
I didn't even.
What triggered you, Moet?
I didn't even listen. The Eddie Kingston promo.
Oh man, that's mine too.
Oh good, yeah. I wrote forgettable, and I looked up at my notes. What did I write? I wrote. Eddie Kingston, it doesn't help. My notes do not help. It just said Eddie Kingston making fun of dude's hair, quotes, that was hilarious, because that's what he said at one point. And get your house in order. And I guess, yeah, that was all I wrote. So I don't remember anything he said. I just remember the very end, get your house in order, because I wrote it down. So the promo didn't work for me.
Forgettable is a good way to describe it. I think of it as almost, it's completely unnecessary. He comes out there to say two things, I guess. It was two things. He said, lose the thing. I didn't lose the casino battle royale. He comes out to say that. And then he comes out to say, we're family. We're all family. That's why we fight. Last week, we fight because we fight, because we love to fight. We're agents of chaos. I don't know if anyone knows what this group is supposed to be.
I think I think that's why his promos suck. Because again, he's so good at this.
He's good,
but
he's
this
very,
is
he's trying to
terrible.
Explain something that makes no sense, like that doesn't fit.
Yeah,
I don't.
I kind of like the idea of it. Of he's like, the way he described it was stupid as hell. Where he's like, we're a violence family. We like violence in this family. That makes no sense at all. And then, but I like the idea of them grabbing. I always love it when people grab somebody from the one of the fans, and throws them in the ring and then beats the crap out of them. So I like that aspect of it, but yeah,
I feel like this did nothing for me. I think Eddie Kingston's trying to make something out of nothing. Like there's nothing really here. I don't like the pairing of Butcher and the Blade with Lucha Bros underneath the Eddie Kingston umbrella. I don't think that, and I like the fact friends, they see friends, but the whole thing ended with him saying to Blade, you have to get your house in order now.
Yeah,
and
what do you think of that? What do you think that means?
I'm sure there's some sort of storyline development, but in a segment that made no sense and was unwarranted, adding that on made even less sense. And I don't know, they gave me such little information. I jumped into the middle of Twin Peaks. Like, I jumped in the middle for 5 minutes, saw this weird little scene, and left, and I got no explanation, and I have to wait next week to find another 5-minute little piece where they try to glue everything together.
Can I
don't know.
Can I comment on that and then transition to my next what?
I would love for, that's the beauty of, you're becoming such a great broadcaster, Moe. Your segue, this is great.
We're it's not so great because I had to ask you for permission.
No, we're very polite broadcasters. We're bringing a new style to this game.
So my issue with that, get your house in order. I like it in theory. I like that it's sort of mysterious. You know, Blade's girlfriend or possibly wife is Allie, I'm pretty sure. So, like, I think they're trying to bring the bunny back in somehow, but I don't know why or what the hell that means. That's just my theory. But my issue with it is it was two vague, mysterious things in a row. The MJF promo was right before this, and that was my next what. Was the promo was fine for the first half. I just don't like, he ends it by saying how he needs to be in a faction. And how he's like, and he's a lone wolf, but he sees how everyone's getting into faction in AEW, so maybe he should be in a faction. And he just ends it that way. To me, it seemed like MJF doesn't understand why he wants to do that as a performer. He's just told that he's going to be in a faction at some point, so he has to go out and like, and make sense of it. So he starts it. I think like very honestly, like I've always thought myself as a lone wolf, but now I need a faction, even though there's a guy next behind me that's clearly your teammate, you know, like you already have a faction in a way. You ran for office. You had like other wrestlers behind you. It was very silly. So that's my next what, Red.
I would like to counterpoint that because I think this is the start of a brilliant new feud. Imagine MJF trying to be at a stable. He can't work with anyone. He can't be involved with anyone. There would like, even if he tried and they tried to, it would turn into a violent mess because he's bringing Wardlow everywhere. And if one of his teammates pisses him off, I think him trying to join a faction is a very funny story. A funny story that is a possibility for a cool feud. I don't know which one he's going to try to join. Maybe Tully's. I'd love for him to try to join Tully's and then feud with Sean Spears or, you know, like they're in there and he's just like, oh, I'm the singles wrestler now. I'm the singles wrestler with Tully. Like, that's my job. So you want to, you know, get a tag team and, you know, something like that. Like, you can't be the singles wrestler there. There's so much they could do with that. I would love, I'm excited for that. I almost wrote down MJF's promo as a woo, but it got sidelined because MJF takes up so much space in my woos.
Yeah, I thought for so sure much. He would be on your list. That's
surprising. I wanted to. He was, and yeah. I crossed it out for FTR and Jurassic Express. Jurassic Express needed one.
I like what you're thinking. I think that is really fun, the idea of him being in a faction. How would that play out? I think maybe the underlying issue for me is that I'm seeing repetition and it's starting to
bother me. You hate factions.
Well, it's not that I hate factions, but I don't like the repetition of factions in AEW where everybody is together.
You don't like teamwork. You don't like people just coming together to get a goal accomplished.
Nah,
I get it. You just hate, you know, fucking cool ass factions. I get it.
Imagine.
Some people like fun. Some people like none. You know.
I like to describe myself as a lone wolf, and that's just kind of imagine saying that in an interview of like, describe a good team building moment in your, you know, past previous experience. Like, I'm more of a lone wolf. You know?
What's one of your strengths? Loner. Sure. Definite loner. What's one of your weaknesses? Not being a loner. That's one thing. Loner makes me pretty strong.
Very strong. I think I'm more annoyed that there's factions and everybody's in a tag team and the six-man tag team's happening all the time. It just, there's throwing people together. It's just getting kind of tiresome to me. So maybe that's what it is. Because the MJF promo was pretty good to start with.
Great promo. I liked it. Let's see where it goes. We're going to have to see where it goes. My next segment, thing that I disliked, this is a little nitpicky. Everyone's singing Jericho's song.
You mean like faces and heels?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's annoying.
I don't mind if the fans get into it because you can't control the fans. And when they get into it, feeds it. Like when they started singing the Lighters with Bray Wyatt's music or stuff like that, when they get involved, cool. When the wrestlers are just joking around and not paying attention to heel face, like ruining that dynamic, pisses me off. I feel like that's just the Jim Cornette would slap each one of them in the face.
For sure.
Each one. He would lose it. And I do agree with that. Like, he's a bad guy. He's being a dick. And you made Private Party look like shit. Because here come these faces that are coming out to face the bad guys. Actually, one of what? I'm going to circle this all into my big, giant what. Because I want to also talk about that entire thing with Jericho, Matt Hardy, mm-hmm. Private Party. That entire whole block of programming from the minute that Jericho blatantly hit Matt Hardy and Private Party, I get that they want to not have scripted promos, but can someone talk to them? Because they're like, I forget who they were talking to, a member of Private Party. They're like, what happened? He's just like, oh, we were just going over the match and this. What, you didn't see anything? The lights go out? And then Jericho comes with a bat making fun of the fact that he hit him and they don't attack him? They look like little shits after they beat the, like, and then they come out. They're singing Jericho's song. He's not a face anymore. He's not a heel anymore. Private Party comes out like a shit balloon. The match happens, and he gets hit in the back. Well, I think it was Isaiah Cassidy that gets hit in the back with a bat?
Yeah.
A bat is an ending match. And that ends matches. Why are we getting hit with a bat? I think they should have been disqualified. If they just disqualified Jericho, if they just disqualified Hager when he hit him with the bat, that match would have been made so much more sense to me. Or, if, you know, like, just, it shouldn't have been that long. I'm angry.
Man, you're really upset about this match.
I forgot how upset I was, and then I forgot about it. I'm just like, oh, I don't really have any woods today. This is a fucking, I'm furious about this.
Yeah,
I'm,
I guess it is. Compared to everything else, the level, the quality of everything else, for sure. I don't know. I feel like I could like pass off a lot of the things you said with that backstage segment. It was a little, it didn't really need to be there at all. Like, I don't think it added into the match that they had. Like, it, so I don't think anyone would have even noticed if Matt Hardy wasn't there in the match. So he didn't need to like sell that he was hurt. You know,
I thought he wasn't supposed to be there anymore. I thought last week he's just like, oh, I'm going to take some time to get better and I'm going to be back. Like, I thought,
well, he's there. He's their manager, technically, in the universe there. So, like, I guess I didn't give a shit if he was going to be out there or not, because he doesn't offer anything from, like, an entertainment perspective as a manager so far. But, yeah, that I can understand why they did it, because he's still connected to them. Like, I think he meant, like,
why Jericho needed to do it.
No.
What was the benefit? Like, there's no reason. And why are we hurting Matt Hardy? Leave him alone. He's had a rough month. And Matt Hardy looks like complete shit. Looks like complete shit as a wrestler. He's getting hurt all the time, busting his head. His wife's mad at the owner. And now he doesn't say a word on the show. We don't even see his face. We see him lying in a heap, holding his knee, still awake, not saying anything to Jericho as Jericho laughs about hitting him.
That is pretty awkward. You're right. Yeah. Yeah. Bad acting. They'll get better. They just keep doing it. Let's check back in like another year and a half, and then we'll see where they're at. The more of these segments, they'll get there, maybe. Or maybe they won't, and it'll be charming of how bad they are. Who knows?
Your wide-eyed optimism is infuriating.
Okay, fair.
Your next one. What's your next one?
Next one was the Miro segment, but it's really nitpicking. It wasn't that bad. It doesn't really even deserve to be in a what section. I didn't like that Penelope Ford didn't really say anything. I something just kind of bristled the, you know, my hair a little bit of just thinking, like, ah, another, like, female valet that's just kind of eye candy, that's just there in the back for no reason in these segments, and that's what bothers me. But even saying it out loud, I guess Kip Sabian has been doing that for her in her segments, so that's not even that bad. I don't really know, man. There's nothing really too bad about this segment.
I'm excited about it. I just want Miro to be able to be intense and angry and then playful and silly, because he's both.
He really is, yeah.
He's so both, and I think he's got a wide array of skills, Moet. He's got a wide array, and I just want to see him.
Oh, for sure, for sure. Yeah, that's actually all my what's. That's all I got.
That's all my what's. I underlined, leave Matt Hardy alone.
That's good.
I just want him to be okay. I just want him to be okay. I want him to take a seat. Man, what a fun night we've had. What a great Dynamite. And AEW, don't get mad at us. Don't stop us from enjoying you. Just want to plead the case that we want to be friends with you. Let us know if we can help in any way. Don't try to attack us. Right? They're going after us?
No, they're not going to. No.
Weren't they? Did you send me a thing?
Yeah, I don't want to talk about that.
Oh, we shouldn't talk about that?
No.
Would that make things worse?
Yeah, probably.
Oh, shoot. Nothing's wrong. Follow us at Loserly's Wrestling on Instagram. Subscribe on YouTube. Click the thing on YouTube. Leave us reviews on our podcast, wherever you listen to your podcast. Follow MoJazzWall1 at MoJazzWall1. Red_Jefferson on Instagram. Moet, say your favorite wrestler and the street you lived on when you were a kid.
Shit. Is it, a wordsmith of heart.
What else? Okay. Have a great night, everyone. Okay. Say goodbye. Bye, Moet.
Bye.